Ches Iyar, Monday the 16th of May, Rabbi Yaakov Hamer, the meaning of Mesiras Nefesh.
Good morning, everyone. First of all, to thank Rav Dudya for inviting me back to say a few words. The title is The Meaning of Mesiras Nefesh, and I wanted to speak about this topic for two reasons. The first reason, perhaps the main reason, is obviously the period which we're in right now, the period of Sfiras HaOmer, which is the period where we remember and we mourn the loss of life, the death of the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. And Shamati Mirabosai that it's not just the fact that there were thousands of Talmidei Chachamim of Tanoim who passed away, but part of the Churban, part of the Avelis, is specifically the fact that it was the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Akiva which was Charov, which was destroyed. So part and parcel of this period of Avelis is the fact that we mourn that the great Rabbi Akiva and everything which Rabbi Akiva stood for, that was destroyed at that time. And being that Rabbi Akiva, one of the incredible lessons that Rabbi Akiva taught us is to what extent the concept of Mesiras Nefesh goes. As we'll mention shortly, that we know that Rabbi Akiva was from the Asar HaRugi Malchus, and as he was being killed, his Talmidim said, even to such an extent, there's an obligation of Kabbalas al Malchus Shemayim, and Rabbi Akiva said, Kol Yama Yisi Mitztayer, and so on. So he very much taught us invaluable lessons of the concept of Mesiras Nefesh. I thought in this period, the period of Sfiras HaOmer, which we're almost halfway through, this week's Sedra is the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer to speak a little bit about Mesiras Nefesh, which is one of the legacies of Rabbi Akiva. Another reason, I'll be honest, is that today, for those of you who have not yet signed up, today we are beginning the second chelik of Mishnah Berurah. And the second chelik of Mishnah Berurah begins with the halachas of Nesias Kapayim. And I thought just to make a little connection between Nesias Kapayim and the topic today, it's very interesting. The very first thing which we find in the halachas of Nesias Kapayim is Ein Nesias Kapayim b'pachas me'asara, that you need to have a minyan in order to do Nesias Kapayim. And the Mishnah Berurah and the Bir Halacha, they quote two different opinions as to why. Why is it necessary to have a minyan for duchening? So the Bir Halacha says, right? Because it's a Davar Shebekedusha, and you always need to have a minyan of Asara when it comes to a Davar Shebekedusha. First reason. Second reason, Vaharan Kosev Dole Mikri Davar Shebekedusha. Kiim Kadeshu Kedusha Barcho. The only things which are considered and are called Davar Shebekedusha is Kadesh, Kedusha, and Barcho. So if so, why is it you need to have a minyan? We have a gzereshava. What's the gzereshava? The chsev kois varchus bnei Yisrael. Ula halon chsev v'nigdashti v'seich bnei Yisrael. So we have a gzereshava between Yisrael, kois varchus bnei Yisrael, and v'nigdashti v'seich bnei Yisrael, which tells us you need to have a minion of asara. So v'nigdashti v'seich bnei Yisrael, as we know, is one of the makoros of the obligation of Mesiras Nefesh, and it's very interesting, as we will discuss after this year, the nafkaminas as to whether or not you learn the obligation that you need to have a minyan of the people from Davish of the Kedusha, or from the fact that it's learned out from Nigdash to Beseich B'nai Yisrael. There's very interesting halachic nafkaminas between the two. So again, another link to the concept of Mesiras Nefesh, Nigdash to Beseich B'nai Yisrael. So again, just to share with you a couple of thoughts, a couple of ideas. a lot of them I heard from Rabban Lapiansky, and a little bit my own. In Parshas Achri Mois, the Torah introduces the Surim of Arayis. And we have a parasha, it's in the beginning of Perek Yud Ches, V'yidab Hashem Omei Shalemar, Darbo bnei Yisrael v'mayit aleyam ani Hashem lekeichem k'mas eretz Mitzrayim asher yeshavtem bo leisasu k'mas eretz kanan asher imei v'yeschem shav leisasu u'buchu k'seim leisileichu. A couple of psukim later begins the parasha of Arayis. But right before it says, "Ushmartim es chukrisai ve'es mishpata sheyasa isam ha'adam v'chai bohem ani Hashem." So right before the parsha, the Arayis, it says, "V'chai bohem ani Hashem." Now we know that these words, these famous words, "V'chai bohem," the Gemara, I believe it's Shmuel in Maseches Yuma, tells us that this is the makar, perhaps the best makar, the Gemara says, to the concept that pikuach nefesh is doicha kol ha-mitzvahs. The Gemara says that we learn from v'chai behem, maloishi yomus behem. And the Gemara tells us that this source is the most comprehensive source of all of the sources which are offered over there, because it teaches us that not only in the case of definite loss of life and definite pikuach nefesh, but even suffic pikuach nefesh, we say v'chai behem, maloishi yomus behem. We know that there are three exceptions: Gidei Arayis, Shvichas Damim, Avodah Zarah, and there's a couple of other exceptions which are also included, namely if it's a Shas Hashmad, it's a time when the Goyim are trying what's known as Lahavir Maldasim, they're trying specifically to spite and to get us to go against our religion, then even on other religions, other mitzvahs, excuse me, and other Averis, there's also a din of Mesiras Nefesh. And some say, I believe it's the Marshal, who says also there's a concept of Mesiras Nefesh and a mitzvah of Mesiras Nefesh when it comes to being Megale Ponim Batera Shaloka Halacha, that even on the pain of death, a person is not allowed to disseminate and to teach, to give over an improper understanding of Divrei Torah, even if there's various pressures, various reasons why they might be tempted to do so. But to be megalah upon the matir shalik halacha, says the mashal, there's also a din of yaharig val yavar. But again, as we know, primarily three cases, and perhaps a couple of other situations also. Rabban asked the following question: if over here, if this is the source, v'chai behem is telling us that v'chai behem v'leishi yomus behem, that a person should not should not be giving their life, because a person should be living through the mitzvahs and not dying through the mitzvahs, isn't it a slightly strange place to insert it right in the middle of the parasha of Arayis, which is one of the exceptions to the rule, which is the case, one of the classical examples when we say that a person, we don't apply the pasuk of v'chai behem. So we begin the parasha d'Av Avnei Yisrael, k'maaseh Eretz Mitzrayim, le'sasu v'chai behem, and then we go and we mefarit, and we go and we mention all the various Arayis. Seems to be a strange place to insert this concept of v'chai behem. Secondly, Rashi says over here, v'chai behem, what does it mean, v'chai behem? Lo'olam haba. It's referring to not this world, it's referring to olam haba. She'im teimer b'olam hazeh, v'alei seifu humeis. It can't be referring to this world because seifu humeis. Anyway, a person's going to die, and therefore v'chai behem must be referring to the next world. And again, that seems to be pretty much a stira to the classical drasha, the classical understanding, which the Gemara tells us of v'chai behem, that in this world there is a din of v'chai behem, that a person is supposed to live through the mitzvahs and not die through the mitzvahs. And Rashi is quoting Chazal that v'chai behem is referring primarily to Olam Haba. If it is referring to Olam Haba, so then what's the source that in Olam Hazeh, on the pain of death, I don't need to give my life? Which one is it? And in general, also we need to understand, why is it that when it comes to these three averis of Gidarai, Shvichas Damim, and Avodah Zarah, a person needs to give of their life? Is it just that he's a very, very, very chomer averis, and therefore you have to give your life? What's special? What's unique about these particular averis that we say one needs to give of one's life? When we go back to Maaseh Bereishis, we find a very interesting difference between the way the Torah presents the creation of the other creatures, the other Nevroim, and the way that Adam was created and formed. When it comes to the vegetation, the plant life, the animals, the birds, the fish, we find that there is a connection between the habitat of the particular thing which was created and the actual Nivra itself. Whereas when it comes to the creation of Adam Rishon, we don't necessarily find this. Meaning to say that when it comes to, for instance, the creation of vegetation, it says Tanshi Ha'aretz Desha, meaning that the Aretz will sprout forth vegetation. The pasuk says Yishrutzu Hamayim Sheretz Nefesh Chaya. The Mayim will bring forth and be Sheretz various creatures. Va'oifyoifif Al Ha'aretz, and the birds will be on the land. Totsi Ha'aretz Nefesh Chaya. You find time and time again a stress, a doggish between the actual habitat, the place where the particular thing which was created lives and thrives, and that the thing itself. When it comes to the creation of Adam, we don't find this. We find that it says Ve'yivach ba'apof nishmas chayim, the Adam and nefesh chaya. We find that it says Nasa Adam etzalmenu, which in a sense is strange because we know that Adam is called Adam because he was created from the Adama. So you'd have thought perhaps more so than anything else. I mean, it doesn't say by Chaya that it was created from the ground. It doesn't say explicitly about a fish that it was created from the Mayim. And nevertheless, there it says Yishutzu Mayim, Tasha Aretz, and so on. And by Adam, who was created Minu Adama, it does mention that he will go back to the dust, because that's. But when it comes to the original presentation and the creation, the formation of Adam, it doesn't say there's no direct link between his habitat, the place where he comes from, and him himself. And the reason for this is that unlike all of Maaseh Bereishis, unlike all of the things which were created, where they get their unika, they get their chios, they get their life, their vitality. It's attributed, as we said, to the habitat, to the mayim, to the aretz, wherever it is. The ikar chios of Adam is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As we know, the pasuk says, Vayipach ba'apof nishmas chayim, v'adam l'nefesh chaya, and Chazal tell us, man denopach midilei nafach, the one who blows life force into this creature, into the Adam, midilei nafach, he's giving his own chios. So the ikur chios, the unika, which Adam gets, even though, yes, he's a physical creature and a physical being, and he also is basar, he's also flesh and blood, and he's similar to animals in that respect, but nevertheless, his ikur chios comes directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Ramban in Voschanan says a similar thing. The pasuk says, "Ki mi chol basa sheshama koilo lekim chayim medabra mitecha ish kamoinu vayechi." Right? Which flesh can actually hear the kol elikim chayim medabra mitecha ish speaking from amongst the fire and will live? Says the Ramban. Why does it say over here this expression of chayim? The farish someone who hears the voice of Elikim, which is the source of life, right? The nefesh will want to cling to its source. It will no longer live a normal, physical, earthly type of existence. Meaning to say, originally with the formation, with the creation of Adam, it was Vayipach Va'apov Nishmas Chayim. So there was Chios, which came directly from Hashem. Adam was Chayta, and lost his Madrega to a certain extent. There was another opportunity for us to get our Yenika, our sustenance, our spiritual, and even physical Chios, from a higher source, from an elevated source. And that's from Elikim Chayim. And to a great extent, that is what the mitzvahs do for us. That is what Torah mitzvahs are for us. It's Va'atzem Hadveikim Ba'ashem Elikim Chayim Kulchem Hayim. You will have henceforth a different type of existence, a higher existence, an existence where your chias comes from somewhere else. But even that, in general, the function of all mitzvahs is do the mitzvahs v'chai bohem. You will do the mitzvahs and the mitzvahs will give you chias. It will connect you, it will reconnect you, it will further connect you to your source of chayim, to the real source where your life emanates from. However, there are going to be certain types of averis where the averis stand in a direct contradiction. The averis are absolutely antithetical to the very idea and essence of what real life is, that by definition we cannot apply the concept of v'chai b'hem. Because if the function of mitzvahs, the function of Torah and mitzvahs is to go and to connect to this Elohim Chayim, to this source of life, and there's going to be a certain type of Avera, which the whole essence of the Avera is the opposite of Chayim, of real life, so then, by definition, it wasn't said v'chai b'hem. Mitzvahs, general mitzvahs, are supposed to bring life. Even if you do a particular Avera, obviously it's not something which brings to life. But mitzvahs, Averas, are limited, certain times, certain places. But if the very essence and nature of the Avera is, this is the opposite of life, the V'chai b'hem was not said. So let's go through them. I mean, really, this is the idea that the Tzad HaShava, the thread, the common thread, in these Gimel Averis Chamuras, it's not just that they happen to be very, very bad, but these Averis are antithetical to the concept of Chaim. Averida Zara, perhaps is the most simplest to understand, to the extent that we're saying that real life is V'atem Advekim Hashem L'kechem Chaim Kulchem Ayoyim Elohim is the Makar HaChaim. So if a person goes and connects to Elohim Acherim, to foreign gods, to other gods, to different gods, by definition, you're plugging yourself in into the opposite source. Instead of you're plugging yourself into Elohim Chaim, you're plugging yourself into Elohim Acherim. So this, by definition, is the opposite of real life. Clearly, V'chai Bohem is not going to be said in such an instance. When it comes to Ritzich, when it comes to murder, so the Gemara says, I don't need a source to explain and to justify that one needs to give one's life. If someone says, kill Reuben or else we kill you. So the Gemara says, it's a svar of shuta, my chos is the damach didach sumak tvei, who's to say that your blood is any redder than your friend's blood. Again, it means to say that if the only way that I can go ahead and continue my connection with the Makar, with Elohim Chaim, is by disconnecting someone else's connection with Elohim Chaim, it's a svar, it's logical to say, I don't need any source to explain and to say that there is no heter for me to go ahead. I don't say v'chai b'hem. I should go ahead and live my life and connect to Elohim Chaim by disconnecting, by pulling the plug on someone else's life. So that is something which is self-understood. When we come to Gilui Arayos, here's a little bit more of a subtlety over here. And perhaps, maybe one can suggest that the reason why the Torah says V'chai b'hem over here, specifically in this parsha, is because it's something which needs a little bit more of a hesber. When it comes to Gilui Arayos, the idea is that a person, as we mentioned, Rashi says that the ikar chius of a person is not so much in this world, it's in the next world. If a person has made themselves so physical, and they're running after their desires, their taivas, even to the extent of engaging in things which are so low, and such abominations, things which are so earthly and so physical, in essence what they've done is they have replaced what real life is, what real chius is, for something which is false, for a very false type of chius. To the extent that you have degenerated yourself so far that you are no longer connected with real chayim anymore. If the only way to save yourself is to engage in something which is so physical, where all you're interested in is the physical pleasure and the gratification, of this world, of this chiyus down below, similar to the chiyus, the habitat which the animals have. It's enjoying and indulging and engaging in the physical down below, and you've lost sight of the real makar, mayim chayim, in the world of the atam advekim, Hashem lekeim chayim kol chamayim, the v'chay behem, which Rashi said that the real place of chiyus is olam haba. Again, v'chay behem was not said. The whole function of v'chay behem is to connect yourself to the real source, to the spiritual source, and not to the physical source. So v'chay behem was not said in such an instance. The Gemara says, the famous Gemara of Avodah Zarah, which speaks about Rabbi Eliezer ben Dudio, that he was a well-known noyef, and he was involved in all different types of physical pleasure, till eventually he realized his mistake, and it says eventually he was chayzer b'tshuva and he died. And the Maral says over there, the Maral says that when it comes to Avodah Zarah and Arayas, Avodah Zarah, he says, is if a person loses the ikar, and if a person degenerates and goes all the way down on a physical level, you cannot do teshuva and remain alive. The Maral says a very, very beautiful piece over there. He says that the word teshuva, to repent, is from the word shav. Shav, to return. And he says that shav means that if you picture an aleph at the top and a tough all the way down at the bottom, he says that so long as a person is within the scale, you're within from base to shin, you haven't lost the ikar, you haven't lost the aleph, which represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you haven't succumbed to idolatry, and you haven't physically gone all the way down that you're at the bottom of the barrel when it comes to physical indulgence and tithe and arayas, so you're within this shin base spectrum, shav, you can bounce back, you can go all the way back up. But if you've lost the nekudas ha'ikar, you've lost the very beginning, you've lost the neich Hashem lekecha, and a person has succumbed to avodah zarah, or you've engaged and you've become such a physical being that you're getting your entire chiyus, your entire vitality, you have replaced it, instead of for elikim chayim, with something very physical, then a person can no longer do teshuvah and live, and remain alive. So that's Gilei Arayis, and that's Avodah Zarah. And like we mentioned, when it comes to Ritzicha, the reason why the Chai Bem doesn't apply is because there's no logic to say that I'm allowed to continue my V'chai Bahem at the expense of disconnecting someone else's V'chai Bahem. And this could also be the explanation why when there is a Gzera Shmad, Rachman Litzlan, and all of Klai Yisrael, Avirim Aldasam, that we also say that the Chai Bem doesn't apply. If it comes to the uprooting of all of Klal Yisrael, that the Goyim are doing something, that they are trying to spite us, and they're trying lavir maldasim, say even for a minor Aveira, because we're not looking at the act so much as we're looking at what they're trying to do. They're trying to uproot Klal Yisrael. They're trying to break and stop Yiddishkeit. And we know, Kutcha Brichu V'Oiraisa, this right, Kutcha Brichu Yisrael V'Oiraisa Chatu. That means there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which we said is Chayim, and there is Yisrael, and there's Oraisa. So we mentioned that there's two other instances where we also say that the Chaybem doesn't apply. One is if it's Lahavir Maldasim, if they're coming to uproot Klal Yisrael, they're coming to spite us, we shouldn't do our religion because they want to uproot Yiddishkeit. So there's no Yisrael. If there's no Yisrael, Kaviyachol, there is no representative of Kutcha Brichu in the world. If it comes to being Megal Panim Bateri Shalika Halacha, again, Torah, is V'chaye Yoylam Notem Isecheinu, Kutcha Brichu V'Rai Sechatu. That means there's no connection to the Makar, to the Elikim Chaim. Again, this is the type of thing that V'chaybem doesn't apply. We cannot say V'chaybem anymore if it's coming to uproot Kaviyachol HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In these days, the days of the Omra, we mentioned that we're mourning the loss of Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim. And we mentioned it specifically, it's because it was the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Kiva, which was Charev, which was destroyed. And therefore we said it's part of the Avelis is to remind ourselves of what could have been. We look a little bit about at the life of Rabbi Kiva, who Rabbi Kiva was and how he died ultimately with a tremendous Mesiras Nefesh. And we realize that this was who Rabbi Akiva was, this was his teaching, and this is what his Beis Medrash could have been and could have developed into. And that was Chorev. And that's what we mourn. There's a very interesting diuk which the Mefarshim make. Amar Rabbi Akiva, Ashreichem Yisrael, lifnei mi'atem etarim u'mi'atar eschem avichem shevashamayim. The Mefarshim are bothered. Why is it that Rabbi Akiva excludes himself from the cloud? Why is it that he says, Ashreichem Yisrael, avichem shevashamayim? He should say, Ashreinu. Ashreinu Yisrael, avinu shevashamayim. Why is it Ashreichem, avichem? So the Mefarshim explain that we know that Rabbi Akiva was a Ben Gerim. Different days as to exactly where the Gera started. If you look in the Rambam in his Hakadama to the Yad HaChazaka, the Rambam says that Rabbi Akiva's father, Yosef, was a Ger. But whether or not it was like the Rambam, his father, or his grandfather, whatever it was, Rabbi Akiva was a Ben Gerim. The Mefarshim say that, the Gemara says in Maseches Yevamos, that mipnei magerim meunim v'yisurin bayim aleihem, bad things at times happen to gerim. The Gemara says lafi she'ein oisin me'ava ela miyira. They have a different gisha. They have a different approach to Yiddishkeit. They do things out of yira as opposed to out of ava. So the Gemara says in a general sense, doesn't necessarily apply in all situations. Plenty of us who don't do things out of ava, but the Gemara says in a general sense. And they explain the difference between a nefesh Yisrael, where it's taken from, chelik alakam yamal, and the nefesh of a ger, and so on and so forth. But to a great extent, the nefesh of a ger, the Mefarshim say, they serve out of yira. The connection is not one out of avo. The Gemara Darshan, Chazal Darshan, Yirei Hashem, Elo HaGerim. It's the yira, it's the gerim. Ava, Ava Hashem, serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of Ava, that tremendously close connection is something which we find innate to Klal Yisrael, Minei Ubeya. Rabbi Akiva, so to speak, he was coming from Geiris. He was coming, either his father was a Geir like the Rambam, he was a Ben Geirim. And he was longing for this type of kasher, this type of relationship, that I am so close to Elikim Chaim. Not only am I serving him out of Yira, but I'm serving him out of Ava. There's this incredibly close connection. And this is what Rabbi Akiva struggled his entire life to achieve. And this is what Rabbi Akiva says as he was being taken out and as he was being killed. He said, Kol yom ha'isim etztayr, al posig zeh on v'haftas Hashem al-kecha, specifically Avos Hashem, when it comes to serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of love, meaning I come from Gerim. My father was a Ger. The way the Gerim serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yira. There's a certain trepidation and awe that you're not at one. You're not fully, fully connected with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I'm longing for this type of relationship, that I will also have this intimate connection, this incredibly close connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where I can actually serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of love, out of Ava. So the mysterious nefesh of Rabbi Akiva was that he was so aware that the connection that we have with the Kodesh Baruch Hu of v'chai behem, that you should live with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, living with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, having that close kasher through Avos Hashem. So this, just going back to these questions, just to wrap it up in a sentence or two, we asked that why specifically over here do we find this v'chai behem? So the idea is that the Torah is teaching us that notwithstanding that the fact that the function of mitzvahs is to bring this very, very close connection, ultimately to Avos Hashem, but in situations and in circumstances where the opposite comes about, when it comes to arayis, where you're replacing real connection, real chiyus, with physicality, that's not what real chiyus is. Like Rashi says, v'chai b'hem, the main chiyus is in Olam Haba. Of course, a person is supposed to live their life bringing Olam Haba into this world. But if a person is going to replace chaye olam with chaye shah, specifically over there, that's the reason why the Torah inserts and instructs us in v'chai b'hem over here. And this is very much something which, in these days, in this time, when we are between Pesach to Shavuos, when we are in the Talich, we're going to Matan Torah. Matan Torah is the time when As we mentioned, Kutcher Brich Vereisa Chatu, it was the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed us V'chaye Olam Nata B'Sechenu. And when we get up in the morning, we need to ask ourselves, what are we actually living for? Where is our main chias? What gives us, where does our vitality come from? What is our habitat? Is it Tatsha Aretz? Is it Toitze Aretz? Are we coming from the fact that the earth, the world, the society that we live in, that's our main habitat, that's what gives us our chias? Or that our real chias is the chias which comes directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Bez Hashem, we should be zeicha to understand the chai olam and not to be sacheinu v'atem advekem Hashem lekechem chayim kolchem ayom.